up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, I'm Vaughan Bennison. Welcome to New Horizons. Two items on the menu this week. Firstly, we're going to hear from Scott Grimley, and Scott works with the National Museum of Australia. Following the chat with Scott, we'll be hearing from Paul Price, who recently attended the Queensland Forum for Blind Citizens Australia. While we're on that subject, the New South Wales Forum was held over the previous weekend, and I'm led to believe it was very successful. I had a listen to the stream myself, and there were some really interesting topics held there. We'll hear more about that in future programs. Don't forget, coming up shortly is the South Australian Forum, the Tasmanian and the Victorian Forum. No need to go over those dates. I'm absolutely positive that you know them already. Accessibility to museums, exhibitions, and art galleries has been much in discussion over recent years, and in the UK and other places like that, as we heard from Porrick Nocton in the last couple of weeks, they are well ahead of what we're doing here. However, some people and places are making inroads into this. We're going to hear now from Scott Grimley. Scott works for the National Museum of Australia in Canberra. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vaughan.
Why don't you start by telling me a bit about yourself and the National Museum?
Okay, my name's Scott Grimley. I'm a Diversity and Wellbeing Support Officer at the National Museum of Australia. I was actually declared blind in 1998, and I actually started work with the National Museum of Australia in 2001 as a museum guide. Since then, I've moved through various jobs in the museum. I'm currently in the Human Resources Department, promoting diversity within the museum and trying to promote well-being amongst the staff. I do a little bit of access advocacy within the museum, as well as providing advice on disability matters and cultural matters.
So what does the museum itself do?
The National Museum of Australia is in Canberra. We opened in 2001 as part of the Centenary of Federation, and we're actually on Acton Peninsula on Lawson Crescent. We're a little bit further away from the grouping of institutions in Canberra. We're just about a 20-minute walk from the city or a 5-minute bus ride on the route number 7 from the city. The National Museum of Australia itself is a social science museum, so we're looking more at how people interact with each other and the wonderful way we create history and the inventions, the discoveries we have, that sort of thing. So we're promoting our past, our present and our future within the Australian culture.
Museums historically are rather inaccessible places, particularly for people who are totally blind, but also for people who are vision impaired. That's all changing now. Why don't you just give us a bit of a description about what's happening?
Well, with our latest exhibition, A History of the World in 100 Objects from the British Museum, we've created a couple of wonderful features to assist people who are blind or vision impaired. One of them is a touch table, as we're calling it. It's a table that's approximately 2 metres long. It has 10 objects on there, or replica or example objects from the exhibition, from the History of the World exhibition. And visitors are invited to touch those objects and then read about them or use Braille to read about them. So we've placed them on a very high contrast platform, dark charcoal with a white text, large print text. And then directly underneath that is grade one Braille. The 10 objects rate from a 1.5 million year old stone axe right through to a 3,000 year old astrolabe to use for navigation for ships. We have Lewis Chessmen, Buster Sophocles, the flood tablet from Iraq, the Aboriginal woven basket, just to name a few of the objects. And people can feel those objects, read about them in Braille or text, and then they can head into the exhibition where we have some Braille labels on 20 of the objects' text panels. And people can read the numbers on those Braille labels, enter the code into an audio tour, and then listen to an audio description of the object, followed by a historic description.
That sounds really good. Have you had much feedback about how it's gone so far?
So far, we've only had a small amount of feedback. The people are really loving the tactile table, both vision impaired and the sighted. The sighted are actually taking a very keen liking to the touch table because they're actually impressed by the amount of Braille that's on the table. They come along, they touch the object and go, "Oh, there's Braille." And they're actually getting two experiences in one. They're getting one of the exhibition and one of experiencing Braille for the first time. Some vision impaired people have come through the exhibition and they have found the touch table a delight. And then they've gone through the exhibition with one of our curators, but also used the audio tour and found it very informative and very easy to enjoy the exhibition. although there's 100 objects in the exhibition, they find that 20 objects is just the right amount to listen to on an audio tour.
And how long is the exhibition open?
The exhibition's open to the 29th of January next year, and we're open from 9 till 5 every day, and up until the end of November, we're open till 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
You said earlier that this was in conjunction with the British Museum. The museums in the UK have quite a history of providing accessibility for people who are blind and vision impaired. Is the accessibility side of this something that has come along with the exhibition, or is this something that that you have implemented at the National Museum?
The National Museum has implemented this. We had a wonderful sponsor from the executive, Stephanie Bull, our chief operating officer, who sponsored the touch table. She thought it'd be a great idea to have a different experience for people to come and enjoy the museum, but also to open up disability access to the exhibition of such a world historic significance. It'd be good to include everybody. So she sponsored the touch table, and then with the Connect You open access tour, that was commissioned by our visitor services team to assist vision impaired and hearing impaired people to get through the exhibition.
Scott Grimley, thanks very much for joining us on New Horizons.
Thank you, Vaughan.
And that was Scott Grimley from the National Museum. Now, let's go back to BCA. Here's Paul Price. Paul recently attended the State Forum in Queensland. Hello, Paul. Welcome to New Horizons.
Thanks for having me, Vaughan.
Last week, you attended the Queensland Forum for Blind Citizens Australia. Do you want to give us an idea about some of the subjects that were discussed there?
Certainly, Vaughan. We started off with a roundup of what's happening in the BCA office. There's been some staffing changes and I believe it was Leah that has left us, and John's taken over as operations manager. And following that, we had a demonstration from Emma Benison of the iBeacon systems, which are used with Blind Square, basically to allow people to navigate indoors. And you can put these beacons up near items of interest, such as toilets, bathrooms, lifts, counters, etc. And Blind Square picks these up as you move through the building.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that technology. We're actually going to do a feature on it in the coming weeks, because it will be featured at the Blind Citizens Australia Forum, and certainly at the Melbourne Forum, which I'll be attending on the 12th of November. So we'll certainly do a feature on that.
Yes, I can't wait to see where it's going to go. It certainly has a lot of potential. Just before morning tea, we had a session on branches and whether the branch was at a level that it should be, or whether we needed to try and get more interest in the branch. We found out from Emma that this seemed to be the case across the whole country, where there was a different levels of interest, but the interest was a little bit lower than what it has been in the past. And I know particularly with Brisbane branch, we used to have a lot of activities that we would undertake as a group, but that seems to have dropped off, as has the communication. And there was discussion around how we could implement that a little bit better. We also had a lady come in by phone from the Sunshine Coast to talk about her experiences with the branches. So there was a little bit of interaction around the table on branches, and we need to try and get the activity level back up and get enthusiasm back into the branch, but it is a major problem.
Mm. Who's the president of the Brisbane branch at the moment?
We have a system where we have a coordinator now, and I believe that's Lynn Eagers at the moment, but I'm not sure whether she's going to continue. There was talk of an annual general meeting.
Right.
However, a date hasn't been set for that yet. Following that, we moved into our morning tea session, and then we came back and we had an interesting session on how to hold your head high. We had three speakers speaking about their experiences as blind people.
So that was the women's branch session, Paul, wasn't it, the hold your head high?
That was the women's branch session there. We had Dr. Donna Dyson speak first. She was talking about her experience as a newly blinded person, i.e. about 3 or 4 years ago, I think she went blind. We had past president Cheryl Pasquale speak second, and she was talking about her experiences through life. And then we had Helen Cummins speaking third, talking about her experiences and how she navigated the world and kept her head high. Following that, we had some interactive session, about 15 to 20 minutes, I think it was, where people could ask questions from the floor and comment.
So what did you get out of the forum, Paul?
Out of the forum, the best sessions for me, I think, were the update on national office, because I wanted to find out where we were nationally and where we were heading. Having said that, there was also a session on the NDIS after lunch, which I enjoyed because I've been quite confused about the NDIS and where I fit within that framework at the moment.
Mm.
Up until now, there's been very little information on the NDIS and how it's going to benefit me. However, Lynn Eagers spoke on the NDIS and basically said that it's going to be a goal-driven system. So you had to think of goals in your life and then match those up to the services and supports that you need to achieve those goals. And that was a really interesting session, and I'm still a little bit confused, but I'm less confused now than what I was before I walked in there.
Mm. I think a lot of people would agree with you on that one. And tell me about the dinner.
The dinner was fantastic. We went to a restaurant in Woolloongabba, and there was about six or seven of us. Not everybody went. And we had a nice meal. You could buy whatever you wanted at the restaurant. I ended up having entree and mains. And we all sat around and had a couple of drinks and talked about BCA and where we're going from here and other stuff as well.
The next national convention, Paul, is in Melbourne in around about October next year. Have you plans to go to that?
I do have plans to go to that, but it would depend, like everybody, on the finances available at the time and how many frequent flyer points I have, to be honest, I can actually get there.
And would you attend another Queensland State Convention?
I certainly would attend another Queensland State Convention, apart from being the only time most years that we are all able to catch up.
Mm.
It certainly gives us information about what's happening around us and I guess connects us, because the one thing that did come out of our session, particularly with the women's branch, is that you have to have role models and you have to be connected to people with the same sort of vision loss as yourself. And that's probably one of the most important aspects of a state convention.
Paul, thanks very much for joining us on the program this week.
Thanks very much for having me, Vaughan. It's a pleasure.
Paul Price there from Brisbane. Don't forget, if you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, you can do so by having a look at the website and getting in touch with the national office. You can donate in all sorts of different ways. They'll be happy to tell you how you can do that. If you'd like more information on anything we've discussed in the program, get in touch with the office, or you can send me feedback to new.horizons@bca.org.au, and we'll do what we can to help you out. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company this week. If you'd like to get in touch with Blind Citizens Australia, their phone number is 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, and their email address is bca@bca.org.au. And I'll be back again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.